Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Damon Bruce Show. Great to have you around this evening, and it's always good to talk to Adam Kaplan from ESPN. He is on the edge of all NFL news. As a matter of fact, he was the one who broke the news about the Michael Crabtree extension, a very good deal for the Raiders. And I'll tell you, it was a weekend for the Raiders, Adam, that no one's going to forget soon. That was about as big of a tale of two different halves football game as I've seen in my life.
Damon, the story of that game was that based on the first half, they probably should have been down by more than 12 to nothing. It looked awful after a quarter. It looked like they were going to get blown out. But the defense, especially Khalil Mack, held the score down. They did a great job. The offense was absolutely anemic. They could not run the football, which has been a problem for several weeks now. And you never thought that they could come back in the game. I picked the Broncos because I just simply didn't think the Raiders could win a big game like that. And their defense really hung in there despite being sort of undermanned in the secondary. You've got to give Jack Del Rio and his coaches credit. And then Derek Carr, as you saw in the second half, when he had to make big throws, he made them. The Michael Rivera touchdown, which was tremendous. What a great route he ran. And Seth Roberts, again, coming up big. Good job of scouting by the Raiders. They've come up big here. They're certainly doing a lot better than most people thought they would do this season.
Yeah, they used a few moments to strike for the play when they needed it. And, you know, they're looking at bubble screen on 3rd and 13, and it goes nowhere twice. And it ends up being the gotcha setup play that they faked when Rivera scored that go-ahead touchdown. So it ended up working out. But getting back to Latavius Murray and this lack of running game, it's a lack of running game with a running back who leads the AFC in rushing. Something's not computing.
Yeah, here's the deal. What the Raiders would like out of Latavius Murray is to run with more power. He's 6'3", 225, but he's almost a finesse runner. What happens is they want him to be physical through the hole. He's just not that type of runner, which is why he's going to have competition next year. It's just a matter of who that's going to be. We're obviously a long ways away from that being in December, but they like him to be more physical, that get those so-called tough yards. He just doesn't do that. They were hoping Roy Helu would do that when they signed him, but he's unable to do that. That's why you've seen Jimmy Zalawale get involved more as a running back now, because they need a big physical back, and he is that guy.
Adam Kaplan from ESPN here on 95.7 The Game. Khalil Mack, before we move on, absolutely had a coming out party, and I think he's very quickly joining the best at his position conversation. Now the question is, what's his position? Is he a defensive end? Is he an outside linebacker? Is he a stand-up linebacker who puts his hand down? How would you describe him?
You know, it's a great question. I think, and I wouldn't have thought this a couple of years ago, but we've seen it with Von Miller. Von Miller really made his hay with the Broncos as a stand-up outside linebacker on the strong side in a 43 defense. Now he's playing outside linebacker in their 3-4 defense under Wade Phillips. Now, I think when you talk to people around the league about this player, he probably would be best in a 3-4 defense as an outside linebacker, but they're running a 4-3. And now he's having to play more defensive end because Alden Smith is out. He could play either. I think it kind of works. Now I would tell you, as someone said to me, he was very smart, wait till he really figures out, despite how well he's playing, how to play at the NFL level, because he's a little bit raw. He's improving on his technique. But once he figures it out, he could wind up being, other than, I would say, Fletcher Cox of the Eagles, who's playing out of his mind, and obviously J.J. Watt, I think Mack could be the NFL's third best defensive player down the line. He's that talented.
He's been something else, and you can see in clear focus now the potential that they drafted out of University of Buffalo. Adam, before we move on to the 49ers and what's going on there, is there any chance that Brock Osweiler isn't the splash the Broncos thought he looked like, and he did look like a week or two ago, and that Peyton Manning may make a return here at some point?
I think he's going to – the talk around the league is that it's going to be Brock Osweiler the rest of the way, barring a complete meltdown over the final three games from Osweiler. I just think it's going to be Osweiler. It's very tough to ask Peyton Manning to come back from this significant injury. Plantar fascia tear, it's a significant injury. It's hard to throw with that. I just don't see them doing that. I don't see them going back to Peyton. Now, the other thing is, Osweiler's in the final year of his rookie deal. What is his future? And if they can't get him signed, will they use a franchise tag? That's what's absolutely facing, I think, the Broncos this offseason. And then, of course, what to do with Peyton Manning and his future. Peyton's a guy who still could start out. By the way, I'm with those people at 39 years old, Peyton Manning. I still think he could be a starter. I just think that you have to understand he's had some bad luck with injuries. I'm not one of those people who's saying, well, it's down the hill now. He's having all these injuries now. He's done. I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a second.
Adam Kaplan joining us here on the Damon Bruce Show. What is it about him, though, that keeps you believing there's something that can compete at the NFL level with an NFL legit quarterback arm? Because it does look – he does look spent to me. And he looks spent after the rest of the offseason. It's not like he wore down in week 15, 16, 17. He looked worn down in week one.
Did you see him in that Packer game, though, before they shut him down here? He was tremendous when the Bronco defense shut down Aaron Rodgers. He played really well. And then you saw against Kansas City. I mean, he clearly shouldn't have been playing. It was just kind of one of those things where he just couldn't throw anymore. He couldn't push off that bad foot, which is the left foot, I believe. But there's nothing wrong with the shoulder. That's the issue. When the arm starts to go, then he's done. It's just that plantar fascia, I mean, it's something – It'll eventually go away. I mean, it'll eventually tear away, but right now it hasn't, and he's got to deal with it.
Jim Tom Sula doesn't look like an NFL head coach. He's certainly not getting the results that anyone wanted to see him get. You know, Jed York made a bet on a number that everyone said, well, that number's not coming in, man. Those are long odds. And here we are. That was you might be the worst team in football loss to the Cincinnati or to the Cleveland Browns there. Now they've got the Cincinnati Bengals without Andy Dalton coming in. We'll get to that in just a second. But to say things have not gone according to plan is a huge understatement, unless, of course, you knew that Tom Sula, which you know wasn't going to work, which is pretty much everybody.
Well, here's the thought here. I think most people around the league thought, because of all the departures in the offseason, the four retirements, and then Alden Smith's situation, it's probably going to be a 500 team. Now, that's if Colin Kaepernick's a quarterback and playing fairly well. He played horribly. Let's face it. He regressed significantly. Carlos Hyde had a broken foot, so they couldn't run the football. And despite having a veteran staff, I mean, you know, with all this going on, I mean, they shouldn't have more than five wins. And you look at the team now, after the really nice comeback, from behind win at Chicago, then you just talked about it, Cleveland, which is about as bad as losses as you can have. They just clearly didn't look right. I mean, you could certainly question whether Tom Sula should return, but he does have time on his contract. They owe him a decent amount of money. I just think I'd like to see Jim Tom Sula with a decent roster, and that's the problem. There's so many problems here, which, and you and I talked about this the last time. We knew this wasn't a great roster, but I would think, if we're being honest here, the most people thought the team would be better. It's very hard. It's very hard to evaluate this football team. There are just so many issues, When you can't run it, you don't throw it that well. Although Blaine Gabbert's been a nice story for them. He's been sort of a game manager, and it's probably, by the way, the best he's ever played. But let's face it, this roster, not good enough. A lot of it is stuff that you couldn't have predicted. But when your quarterback, your guy, the guy that you paid a lot of money to, isn't available, you're simply not going to be as good. We all knew that.
So are you putting a little bit more of the blame, if you will, on the doorstep of Trent Baalke rather than Jim Tom Sula?
I said, you know, it's could you blame him for the four retirements? No, you couldn't do that. And then Anthony Davis decides he's going to retire after the draft. So that was a tough deal. I think everyone's got a hand in it. Everyone's got a hand in here. But the fact of the matter is, I think Jed York's got to look at this. How does this team become better? Is it the coach? Is it the personnel? What is it? It's not just so easy to point at Jim Tom Sula and say, okay, well, this team should have been better. He's out. I just don't think it's that fair to say that. I hear what you're saying, but it's not just one part of the team. The roster needs improvement, and they've decided to go very young here. But let me ask you this question. What were your expectations, Damon, before the season started?
Disaster. And I think they're meeting those expectations.
That was your opinion. That's fine.
I mean, I really thought that any organization in the business of football thinks their organization gets better without Jim Harbaugh in it, and then the replacement is this guy. Like, there is no follow-up question. Like, I don't even want to talk football with you if you think you're better without Jim Harbaugh.
No. Hey, let me just tell you something. Jim Harbaugh is probably, had he not left, one of the top three NFL head coaches by far. Phenomenal football coach. But based on their relationship, they could not go further. This was not about ability to win. I mean, Jim Harbaugh is a phenomenal football coach. I mean, we all know that. Everyone knows that. But to your point, you have to make a decision here. Where are you going to go for your next head coach? They decided to go with the in-house candidate. Now, everyone has their opinion whether that was right or wrong.
Oof. Anyways, let's move on to this. Not an if, but almost when question. When Kaepernick hits the open market, who's going to be the first to give him a call looking for a date?
It's got to be with a team that wants a mobile quarterback that will have a system that will take advantage of his ability. Because he has lost so much in mechanics, accuracy, and just where he is as a quarterback. Some people have talked about Chip Kelly and the Eagles offense. Yes, I think he'd be a system fit, but Chip Kelly's big on accuracy. I think Colin Kaepernick has lost so much in his accuracy. He has regressed so much when people watch his tape. You just don't know what he can regain. It's not an ability problem. It's a performance problem.
Would one might say that Colin Kaepernick is the case study to show you how good of a coach Jim Harbaugh really was?
Here's the thing. Is it Greg Roman who's done a tremendous job with Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah.
You tell me how a quarterback could drop off so much. I have no answer for that. And by the way, though, let's call this straight. Let's talk reality here. Colin Kaepernick regressed last season. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not
right.
A secret.
All right. Since we're talking about quarterback drop-off, let's talk about the drop-off of Andy Dalton. I mean, we got Bengal critics who have perched their careers on the criticism of this guy not being the guy. You'll never win in the playoffs with him. Well, be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. Will Cincinnati's fall be as dramatic as Dallas's without Tony Romo, or are they better built than that?
A.J. McCarron, a thought around the league is that he's not bad. He's sort of a game manager with a decent arm. You saw that bomb to A.J. Green. But there's a reason why he was a fifth-round pick. The league clearly thought he was not good enough to be a starter. The way you think is rounds one through three, you're drafting – one through two, you're definitely drafting a starter. Third is a low-end starter. After that is a backup. So he's going to have to show that he's more than a backup, a good backup. That's kind of the way you look at it. I think looking at their schedule and the fact that McCarron has not been a starter before, they're going to make the playoffs. But I'll tell you what, Pittsburgh may make this very interesting over the final 3 weeks because based on the way that they're playing, and Andy Dalton, by the way, not only was his best season and with the talent around them, this guy was looking like a top 10 quarterback, but now coming off of a broken thumb that won't be repaired, he's probably, from talking to people, not going to be available to at the earliest the first round of the playoffs, so that might be charitable. It's a problem. I mean, this Bengals team is certainly not going to be the same.
A lot of talk about Cam Newton winning the MVP, and I think he should. Normally, Tom Brady's the default setting of MVP the way Jordan was, but every now and then there's an extraordinary season that takes it away from the default setting. I think Cam Newton is having one. And much like Tom Brady, this guy is having a monster year with guys around him most NFL fans could not name. I mean, it's mm-hmm. Cam Newton, the Panthers, and Luke Kuechly, and Jaime Moreno, their Spanish announcer, who to me is as important as anybody on the team. Are you surprised that this team is going 16-0? I think they're going to go 16-0.
Well, here's the issue now. Greg Olsen, their tight end, has a sprained knee. It's a minor sprain. He's probably going to be available if they want him to play this week. Jonathan Stewart has a sprained foot. The MRIs were clean for Stewart and Olsen. Now, we don't know if Stewart's going to be available this week, but you got to be careful. It's funny. You mentioned the situation on offense that kind of a bunch of no-names. Remember, their best receiver towards ACL, Kelvin Benjamin, is not available this season.
Yeah.
Just shows you the value of coaching. And to your point, you really make the best point of all. It's how he makes others better. Cam Newton, that's the best example you could give as a quarterback making others around him better. No one better than Peyton Manning and Brady have done it. I'd put Cam Newton's performance this season right up there. I think it's a great point.
Adam, we got to get going, and I know you do too. I just got to get this out of you, and I know that you're an X's and Go's. You're a player personnel inside the locker room guy. You're not a business of football type
of.
Yeah, I know you are, yeah. But I mean, I always like talking. I never ask you business questions. I save those for other people, but I am going to ask you a business question about NFL relocation to LA, and forget that this is the Raiders station. Forget that you're talking to the Bay Area right now. Forget about the Raiders. Forget about the Rams or the Chargers. What's best for LA?
That's a great. Well, that's the problem. It's so complex. I've been dealing with this thing for the LA question for 6 months. I thought we would have had an answer before. What's best for LA?
Well, I feel like no one's even asking that question.
But see, the problem is, Damon, what's best for the NFL is if the Raiders could stay in Oakland because that's where they belong. Problem is, they can't get a stadium there. It'll never happen. So that's one problem. Then the other problems are simple. The Chargers can't get a stadium there in San Diego. They're best off to me in Carson, joining with the Raiders. That's my opinion. That's not the way a lot of people in the league feel. But I think that's the most viable situation, going to Carson and the Rams going to Inglewood if they move. Obviously, that seems like the most likely scenario that the Rams move. But it's amazing to me. We're in December here. That we don't know what's going to happen. I thought for sure, I was at the October owners meetings. They weren't even sure then, and here we are 2 months later. We still don't know.
I tell you what, if Adam Kaplan were leading the meeting, this would be settled by now, don't you think?
First of all, that's it's funny you say that. This is Roger Goodell's one of his biggest challenges since he became a commissioner in 2006. Is he's got to help? He's got these. And by the way, these owners don't agree on a lot. To get these owners to agree on this situation, who should get what, is going to be perhaps the biggest challenge of his career. No question about it.
Wow. Adam, great to talk to you as always, man. Thank you so much. And if we don't get in touch with you before the end of the year, well, shame on us because it's always great. And happy holidays.
Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.